I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Spider-Knight?
Alas, friend Spider-Man! By what sorcery doth small ceiling torch shine forth?
It's called a light bulb.
Welcome to Prattleworld. I'm your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to another edition of Spider Knights of the Round Table, where my guests and I will discuss a much-loved subject in depth and in a roundtable format. Now, I have brought, again, into the fold a person who's very close to me, does kind of, you know, drive me a bit nuts sometimes, and we live very close together. You may describe him as a parasite. It is Matthew Catterall, my flatmate. Hello there!
Why'd you give everyone my surname as well?
Because I want them to find you.
It's fine, mate.
I want them to find you online.
And Twitter.
Hunt you down.
Need more followers.
Yeah, you need more. You definitely need more followers. I do as well. But yeah, I want to name and shame you because you are who you are. Welcome back!
Good to be back
to the flat that you live in all the time.
To our dining room table.
Your own flat, you know. Welcome home. Good day at work.
It was okay. I managed to accomplish nothing.
Hey, me too.
You've done okay. You've done it.
Yeah, I've done that. I've accomplished doing nothing.
On Saturday, on my day off, I did not. So,
that's fair.
As long as you've done the main things.
I did sort out my holiday stuff, so that's something. I sorted out, you know, the visa thing and the...
You did.
And my travel insurance?
Because you need the Meerkat Movies, because I've got my cinema card, and then that means we need Meerkat Movies.
Yeah, we can still do that.
We can now go...
Do our little deal.
Free on Tuesday and Wednesdays.
Yes!
Where I get a drink for taking you. But to be fair, I'm happy with that.
I got my insurance with Admiral. But we're not here to talk about holidays, insurance policies, and our living situation, my hetero life mate, you. We are here to talk about Oscars. Oscar-winning movies. So this year has been a turn-up for the books. It has been the only time in, how many years? Is it 89, 82 years?
So I'm guessing 92 years. They made a big thing about it being the 92nd Oscars. It's not a major thing, is it?
No, it's not. To be fair, if you got to your 92nd birthday, I'm pretty sure that would be a big
thing. My nan's 101. She does. Oh, I'm 102 next year. Ooh, big one.
I wonder if I'll make it. That would be an accomplishment. But who knows? I hope everyone lives forever, but also that would be horrible as well.
Oh, God, we'd be living together forever, wouldn't
exactly.
we?
Exactly. No. You wouldn't want that.
It's okay.
But it is the first time ever that the best international film has also won best film.
It's
quite surprising. Have we ever had any other international films featured in best film?
No idea.
Well, if you guys know, tell us all about them. I'm sure if there's some Oscar nerd out there, Nathan Smith, that could tell us every little detail. There's also another first. In fact, one of the highest grossing movies has not been nominated for an Oscar.
Endgame.
That is Avengers Endgame.
Ridiculous.
They're record breaking in their own way.
Absolutely ridiculous. I get why the Oscars of what they are, the Academy Award.
Yeah.
But I'm not an actor. I'm not a writer. I don't work in the film industry.
No.
And it's aimed at that. Mm. I want an Oscar for the best big picture, something like that. They were going to bring one in to get more people watching it, but it diluted the quality. I get the reasoning.
They tried to do the most popular film, didn't they, with Black Panther?
Yeah. That needs to be done.
Got rid of it.
But it's
because nobody watches the Oscars anymore. That's the problem.
Saying that, though, this is the first one I watched. I watched this one, didn't
did you?
I watched, so it was good. I liked it.
I'm not a big fan of people kind of telling me what I should be watching and what I shouldn't be watching. And like this whole podcast about me, my cult kind of choices and stuff. I mean, look at this. Endgame won no Oscars. Suicide Squad got best makeup.
Good makeup. It was terrible makeup. Film.
Awful film, yeah. Great makeup. But, yeah. If it won it, it won it. Whatever. But this is... I've not seen the film. You've seen it. Tell us a little about Parasite.
Parasite.
Without spoiling it too much, because I will eventually watch it.
Quite honestly, it won the Oscar. Watched the award ceremony, and I went, I've got to watch it.
Yeah.
To be fair, we went to the mine.
We did the trailer.
The trailer made it look like a scary thriller. And,
yeah. More like a kind of horror.
Yeah, I do not like horror, as you...
Yes, I'm well aware. You know. Yeah, I'm well aware.
I do not like any horror. The scariest film I probably like is Elf.
Elf, yeah.
Elf, you know, when he's doing the...
There is actually a horror movie... which is about an elf. I think it's the elf. There's probably a couple more about scary.
Anyway, yeah, just horror films. Anyway, so I watched the trailer with you when we went watching one of our many films.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, that looks good. And then it looked a bit scary at the end. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. I was very interested. I thought it looked very unique.
Yeah. And then, well, read more about it. And then the buzz came more about it. Mm. It's winning all these awards. I was like, okay, I'll read what it's about. And I was like, oh, that sounds good. Went to watch it. Phenomenal, great film, really good film. I know a lot of people don't like subtitles in movies, but it's easy to follow.
Yeah, I mean,
easy to follow.
Yeah, I'm dyslexic, and I can still kind of hold my own in regards to subtitles. But I think he even said actually at the Oscars, he said if you can get over that, you know, 1-inch barrier of subtitles, your world of films and the type of films you would see would open up dramatically. And he's absolutely right. Bong Joon-ho, the director, he's absolutely right with that statement. I couldn't agree more, which is why we have watched this particular film. So we've had, that's Parasite, and now we are looking at 2006's The Host.
The Host.
Which was, at the time, the highest grossing South Korean film ever. Over 20% of North Korea went to see this movie.
North Korea?
Sorry, North Korea. Nobody in North Korea saw this. No.
I read this, but The Host was incredibly popular in North Korea.
Was it?
They didn't mind them watching it because... Going through the film, it shows South Korea's government and everything as inept.
Yes.
So
yeah,
they didn't mind it.
And the US as well.
It did show the US as inept. That's why they didn't mind it. This is what I've read. Obviously, you don't know what information goes out of North Korea, but absolutely.
Or
fine.
What goes in, to be honest.
Yes.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah. So, I read that it was quite inept, so they actually didn't mind people watching it.
There we go.
20% of South Korea.
Yeah, 20% of South Korea. The entire South Korean population, 20%. Went to see that movie, so they've, you know, a lot of people must have been talking about that movie.
Yeah, I can see why. It's their big budget film, isn't it?
It is.
Our big budget film in the UK. James Bond,
probably. Yeah, probably James Bond.
Still in the UK, still British film.
Yeah, Harry Potter. It's pretty big.
Never seen. I have seen them, but only because they kept them on repeat at work for a week just before Christmas.
They're not my favourite, I'll be honest. I probably would like them more, I think, maybe if I'd read the books, because I always feel like every Harry Potter film has a lot missing.
Yeah.
They always get to the end, I'm like, oh. And they're like, see you again next year when we'll be in terrible peril again, Harry. You know, stop going.
I don't know, like a lot of kids, I think I just missed the Harry Potter phase because I'm maybe just a bit too old now. 33, and maybe I missed it. I think the first two books were good from what people said, and then the third, fourth, it's just and I was already that bit too old to then get into them.
It just wasn't for me. I think an uncle bought me the first three books, and I was just like, I didn't like the artwork, and that put me off immediately.
I know what you mean there.
Really awful artwork.
On the front cover. No, I didn't like it.
So I was like, when he got to like the fourth one, they have this huge, amazing dragon or something on it. And I was like, that actually looks pretty badass. Mm. But yeah, the first, it was very much like, it was very kiddified. And I was obviously coming into my teenage years, and I was like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Don't want to get into that.
I agree. Yeah.
But that is that. So let's talk about the plot to this film. The opening, especially, is based on a real event. It's based on something that happened in 2000. It's called the McFarlane Case. Basically, it was a US military base by the Han River in South Korea, in Seoul. And a kind of mortician coroner asked a Korean assistant to pour some old kind of
I don't think it was out of date, but it was old formaldehyde. And he said, pour it down the sink. They were like, well, if we pour it down the sink, that's going to go directly into the Han River, which is drinking water for quite a lot of the population. I think over 12 million people drink out of that water.
That's okay.
Probably not. So these are formaldehyde, if you don't know, it's a highly toxic chemical. It's used for embalming, of corpses and things. And it's said to cause birth defects and even cancer in some people. So these were dumped directly into the, I think it was about 20 gallons. Yeah. So that was dumped directly. And this was by the US military. Apparently there was some talk about the water treatment plants kind of, diluting water treatment plants diluting and neutralizing the ingredients in the formaldehyde. So it would not necessarily have affected. However, it's still, the act itself was still very, very illegal. Mm-hmm. And in 2005, the US refused to hand over the soldier to face a Korean court of law. And this led to a conviction in America of that same person, so McFarland, and a formal apology from the US military. But he never served any jail time, which the Korean government felt was furious about, obviously, because they have affected potentially, 12 million people and, generations down the line could have been poisoned by this chemical.
It's just Americans, though. They just do what they want. Don't they?
Well, not all Americans, obviously.
The American government.
The American government is a bit shady, we'll say that.
Americans are lovely. I like
Americans. Yes, I like Americans too. And we have a lot of American listeners as well.
Do you?
Yes.
So are they mainly from California?
They are, believe it or not, because I have mentioned this. I have mentioned it.
Getting a few followers.
Yeah, California.
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 Please don't.
You remember The OC. It was a great show.
I remember it. I never watched it.
Did you not? You never watched. Never watched Seth and
I went out
and the others.
Football.
Oh yeah, I hate football. I watch teenage dramas. I watch Dawson's Creek and The OC. Didn't watch One Tree Hill though. One Tree Hill was not for me.
I know what you're on about, but I know nothing about any of them.
Dawson's Creek lived.
A gif of him crying. That's all I remember.
That is a good cry there.
We all need it.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So that's the beginning of the film. So, and then we jump ahead, I think it's a few years, and these fishermen find like a little mutation. They're like, oh God, what's this?
Oh yeah. They're like, what's that? Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, and then they drop it and they're like, oh, where did it go? And then we have the main characters of this family that are this, I'm just going to describe them because I don't want to butcher any South Korean names because I struggle with Bong Joon-ho so we'll just go. I'm going to go the father, the grandfather, the daughter, the aunt and the uncle. Those are the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
Those five. So we'll just stick with that. So they, the father works with the grandfather in a little kiosk just by the river. They're selling like some octopus calamari or something.
They sell the usual sweets.
It's like a corner shop. It's like a corner shop, but it's
like
a kiosk.
Corner shop, and then they
corner shop without a corner.
Yeah, and then they sell ramen balls, the ready to make ramen balls. Squid, the crabs and everything there.
Yeah, so it's all kind of out of the river.
So they do that. Yeah, they do that in Asia a lot. When I went to Thailand, they've got things like that. So it's pretty
cool. Yeah, when I went to Thailand, I had I think it was like a fried cricket and a fried frog.
Yeah.
Just tastes like oil. So, that's all it tastes of.
As soon as she said that, I just literally thought about black oil.
Just black, thick
crude oil.
Not that bad. No, yeah. just the cooking oil.
Okay.
But yeah, so, and then basically the daughter's comes home from work.
School.
Homework. It is work.
No, stop trying to make it something it's not. Yeah,
school. No, it's school. It's school. She has a uniform and everything. It's definitely school. She comes back. Her dad's a bit of a loser. The father is a bit of a loser.
Lovable rogue.
Okay.
Lovable rogue.
I'm not talking about you, Matt.
I'm neither lovable
nor rogue. You seem to have taken that quite personally for
something. He's a lovable rogue.
Okay, he's a lovable rogue.
A better dad than he is.
Debatable.
He was just sleeping on chocolate bars with
pennies on his face.
Yeah, pennies on his face.
He was.
And I can't remember the last time I fell asleep and used a Twix as a pillow.
Fair enough.
I saw a picture of that on Twitter. Anyway, back to
back to the film. And the grandfather's quite a loving guy. He's nice. And the aunt is on the TV. She's in an archery competition.
Yeah, Archer.
Yeah, she's that one. She was not good.
I'd be shit.
She got the bronze, in fact.
Oh no, not bronze. Where do you think I'd place in that in the Olympic? Tremor.
Stick you in the kiosk. I think keep you there. No escape from that.
Yeah.
So we get a kind of gist of the kind of family, and then later on we're introduced to the uncle a little later on. But it's basically just an all-out fucking monster attack.
That was good. I like that.
That's within probably 5-10 minutes. Easy.
I like that about this film. Really good. It's like what's it? Cloverfield. Remember Cloverfield?
Yeah.
Where's the monster? Can't see it properly. Yeah. And that annoyed me. I was like, just show me the bloody monster.
I mean, there is something to be said about hiding the monster and the reveal and the build up. But however,
I liked this. I just
boom,
right. There it is.
There's another thing as well. Like a lot of these monster movies, when they're using CGI to create the monster, they will often have it set at night because it's a bit scarier. You can't really see it. Also, to hide shoddy CGI. You know, if they're worried that it's not going to show very well. But this film is balls out, bright daylight. You see the monster within minutes. They go, oh, what's that under the bridge? Then all of a sudden it's in the water and then it jumps out and it's literally just on a rampage. Yeah. And it's this kind of fishy, amphibian, mutated kind of freak thing.
Yeah.
It's a really good design, actually. I really like it.
It looks dated now because it is 14 years old.
Yeah, we're looking,
And it's not a Hollywood... It's not like
the budget is a little smaller.
Yeah.
But I still think it looked good.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah, I'd agree. I think.
For its time.
That's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I didn't like the design of the monster.
No.
I wasn't a fan of it.
No.
It looked, who did you say it was based on?
Oh, yes. So Bong Joon-ho, he really likes Fargo, the movie Fargo. And Steve Buscemi, who plays a character in that, is very erratic and very like all over the show.
Yeah.
Very angry all the time. He based it on Steve Buscemi. Believe it or not.
I love his face. Just Steve Buscemi.
You can just imagine. Just imagine this creature running at you with Steve Buscemi's face. That would be terrifying anyway. I mean, just those big eyes of his and everything. But yeah, so he based it on that. And it's very, the inspiration comes from like a lot of places, like I said, amphibian life. They looked a lot at kind of deformities and mutations and things in animals and those types of animals. On its back, you can actually see fish kind of sticking out of it. Like almost like a, you know, like a fin, like a big fin. But it's like several fish. Towards the end, they're attacking the monster, and their fish falls out of it.
Okay.
So it's almost like the creature is just this big amalgam of all these different bits of life and that toxic waste, and that's all fused together into this one being.
Didn't even notice that.
Did you not?
Well, I've got terrible eyesight. I never wear my glasses.
There you go. Well, luckily, I wear mine a lot now. So
we're getting older.
Yes. But yeah, but that opening scene, like if you don't want to watch the whole movie, that opening scene is just great cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a lot of kind of, there's bits where it's got its own arms and stuff, so it's pretty agile on land.
Its tail is like it's kind of like an elephant uses.
Yeah, it kind of ties people up and stuff. And there's a bit where it grabs this woman by it. Woman's reading a book and it runs past her and just grabs her head and starts dragging her around. There's this American guy that takes like a road sign and starts trying to whack it with his heavy road sign and stuff. What happens in the end of the monster attack is the daughter of the father, the main character, is kidnapped, basically. Because
he's trying to run with his daughter, but he grabs another kid's hand.
And
he turns around and he sees it's not his daughter, and you're just like, heartbroken for him. He was just trying to protect his child.
And he's like, he turns around, he's running, and then he turns around, he looks at her, and she's like, why are you grabbing me? Almost like, oh my God. Mm. Not like, thank you for saving me from the monster. Like, who the fuck are you? I would be like, oh, thank you for dragging me away and a bit quicker than I probably would have ran. But then somebody else is looking at him like, what are you doing, you weirdo? And pulls his daughter away from him. And he's like, and then he sees his daughter and it's really violent, actually.
The
grabs her with a tail and it just leaps into the water, does this massive dive, and it just disappears. And I'm just like, the force she hit the water, her bones would have just been shattered. Like, she would have just been dead.
It's true. But we
suspend our disbelief.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Suspend our disbelief. But yeah, it's good. But then what's really interesting about the film as well is the tonally, it's really... interesting because it goes from this kind of this horror element, this political kind of satire, and then also comes back to this kind of weird kind of Korean comedy as well, this family comedy.
If you watch the trailer, the first part of the trailer with the music showing the family, it makes it look like a slapstick comedy. I think if you watch that trailer, you'd be like, oh, that's funny. Like,
yeah. Not unlike the Parasite trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the trailer gets darker at the end, yeah. Pretty great.
I think some people might complain that the tone jumps around a lot. But for me, I think I don't mind it. It kind of works because when the tone does shift, it's really well, like the scenes that are funny and the scenes that are dark and the scenes that are disturbing are done that well. I kind of don't mind the connective tissue not necessarily being as seamless, but I think he's a very good director. I do appreciate his work. We really like Snowpiercer. That's one of his as well.
I've seen Snowpiercer twice. I really like that film. I think really, really good film. The dad from The Host is in.
Oh yeah,
he's in Snowpiercer, isn't he? I think it's him.
I think they were. If it's not him, I believe it was somebody. I think from two Parasite. Of the actors.
I'm sure I thought it was the guy from The Host in Snowpiercer. But yeah,
maybe. I'd have to go back and have a look.
Yeah, Snowpiercer's phenomenal as well. Yeah. But
So what did you? Do you have a favorite character or
the dad? Like I said, he's a lovable rogue. He's kind of not give up on life or anything, but he just wants an easy life. Yeah. Have a nap.
He's like a
river. And in South Korea, the weather's going to be lovely at times. Mm-hmm. You're really nice and warm. Works on a river. Sees people having fun. He just likes to relax. I like the dad. And the granddad was cool.
Yeah. Was
it the uncle? Didn't like the uncle.
Yeah, the uncle's kind of interesting. He's introduced last, and you don't really get that much from him.
I think, is he like a Korean salaryman?
Yeah. He seems like a Korean salaryman. Korean salaryman.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets the spotlight. You know, we say that the aunt is a bit crap and stuff with the archery and, you know, and that, but she does, by the end of the film, she has kind of almost kind of redeemed herself becomes the hero of the piece. But I didn't feel much for the uncle. I could have done with a bit more, but it is quite interesting. But after the whole attack, it becomes this kind of almost like a virus movie.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot
like Outbreak-ish. Yeah. They say, oh, the monster's got a virus, and then
yeah. Have you been attacked? Have you been affected? Did it touch you?
It's like, oh, the blood got all over my face. Yeah. It's like, get him! Oh, and the guy in the yellow suit slits when walking past and just trying to. Like, yeah. It's like, nope, just looking suave, still there.
And that's exactly it reminds me of stuff like RoboCop when you've got all the satire in that, you know, poking fun at these kind of big corporations, American corporations, all the yuppies of the 1980s and stuff like that. That's present here within this kind of this sci-fi monster movie, is that kind of criticism of the US military and the Korean government and their response. And they're going through all this kind of, they believe the girl to be dead. And this is one of the scenes I think is probably the most funny, and then also kind of one of the most tragic as well. It's like the whole family come together and they're mourning all the people that died in the monster attack. The family goes up there and they just all break down. They just break down. They're like, why did you grab the wrong girl? Why did you do this? All fighting, struggling on the floor, crying their eyes out. And it's kind of, it's very quite darkly humorous because it's just like,
they're all falling together on the floor.
They're all falling. What's even funnier is in the background, someone's complaining about someone's car's blocked them in. They're like, what are you doing? Just right in the corner of the screen is this like really basic argument going on above all this like horrible, like over the top mourning.
Who's parked there? Ford, KA, registration, EA. Oh, actually, I shouldn't say my registration. I get you. It's funny.
But yeah, I think, like I said, the humor is good and it does work. It also makes, you know, the tragic bits more tragic, if anything. Is that the humor is so strong and the love between all the families. But go back to the whole virus element. It's really interesting because later on in the film you find out that, well, it's, I mean, the story of this film is basically all, it's a kidnap movie, and that's how Bong Joon-ho describes it. It's a kidnap movie. It's not a monster movie. It's just the kidnapper happens to be a monster. That's basically it.
And the government are lying.
Yeah, lying, not helping. If anything, they're being, you know, they're blocking every potential avenue this family have to get their daughter back.
Yeah.
And they're not helping. There's no assistance at all, and they have to do it themselves. And then, like you said, they're these lovable rogues, you know, these kind of hapless character, ordinary people plunged into an extraordinary situation, and they have to come out alive. And this whole the virus thing is a whole smokescreen, because they don't know what's going on, the government, and they want to cover this up because they think they might be responsible for the creation of this creature. So it's a whole smokescreen and cover up, and you know, this doctor reveals it to the father, and then they give him a lobotomy. They try and give him a lobotomy.
They do try to give him a lobotomy. I was like, why the fuck are they?
And that's just the kind of lengths. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but.
You know, I hate conspiracy theories.
But you know, I do not doubt that I could see the government doing one or two of these things just to keep something under wraps. You know, we've seen it before.
What were they keeping under? You saw the monster. Everyone saw the monster. It was widely publicised.
It was.
What are they keeping under wraps?
They're involved. I think so. But yeah, it's not. But again, they're inept. We're saying that they're inept.
They were incredibly inept. And the South Korean government and the US armed forces. They were giving him a lobotomy, caught him. But they put him in. Yeah, so they caught him in that thing where all the family were crying. It was like, oh, he had blood on it. I had blood on me. Get him.
Yeah.
Put him in a big bag, in essence.
Yeah.
Took him to like a secret hospital.
Yeah.
Tried lobotomizing him.
Yeah.
Crazy. And then he did give him a lobotomy.
They did. I think they did.
Half a lobotomy.
Something happens and then he gets out. But I remember he uses his own blood in a syringe as kind of like to hold someone hostage.
But they knew nothing. They knew there was no virus.
Well, no, there's a guy who's saying, I don't know who he is, it's an American actor who's got slightly cross-eyed.
Yeah.
Slightly cross-eyed. And he's saying, I don't think there's a virus. There's no evidence for a virus. And they were like, there's no virus. And he was like, oh, shush, 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 shush.
Yeah.
So I think there's people in that hospital, especially the South Korean assistants and the kind of the people working with the South Korean government, I think they believe there's a virus. I think it's the US government that possibly knows that there isn't one. There's an amazing lair that the monster has, which is actually... It's not a set. It's not CGI. That is a real sewer that they use for the monster's lair.
As you do.
You know.
A child actor down a sewer.
Yeah. Her first film.
Brilliant.
She was incredible.
She was really good.
Yeah.
Do you want to go down a sewer with this man? as a monster.
Just as a monster. Blah, yeah. Blah. No, but she plays a really good part. She's probably
like the heroine of the film.
Yeah,
really.
She is.
She's the heroine, even though she's been kidnapped.
Yeah,
she's really, really good.
She there's a couple of homeless people that get kidnapped by the monster. One of them's eaten, and the other one, child, is taken back to the lair to be eaten later. But she's already down there and just trying to get her phone, trying to call her family and stuff. There's another scene where. When they're in the virus kind of place, the outbreak hospital and what have you, quarantine, and they get a call from her. And that's the first time they realize that she could possibly be alive.
Mm.
And all the people are like, shut up, she's dead. What are you on about? Virus is driving you crazy. You're not getting out of here. And then, you know, and then they're forced to break out and do what they need to do.
Yeah.
Then there's a bounty on the brother.
They break out. And then they get a van and they give some triads or some gangsters.
Money. Yeah, I think so.
Remember that bit?
Yeah.
And then they give them some money for a van so they can drive and pretend they're the cleanup crew.
They're wearing
all the different uniforms.
Yeah.
And then they get pulled up to a roadblock and they know it's not them, but they just want a bribe. So they give them a bribe, don't they? Do you remember that bit?
Yeah, yeah.
Give them a bribe with a little tub. It's just some pennies. It's all I've got at the moment.
The lovable rogue father, he's been saving, the daughter's complaining about her old phone, and then and the father's like, I've been saving up some money for you, and it's just like the tips from the kiosk. Yeah. So it's just a big bowl of pennies. And he's like, it's just
like our bowl of pennies.
Pretty much. I keep forgetting we have that. That's the problem. It would be bigger if I just remembered. I think it's quite interesting because Bong Joon-ho was obviously at the time there was a lot of stuff with Iraq, and the stuff that the US military were doing over there that he was very critical of as well. People have described this as an anti-American film, but
it's not anti-American at all.
It's just casting a microscope over the inner workings of, you know, the US government, the US military. It's, you know, maybe we should look a bit closer at things that go on, but it's not anti-American. It's not a racist film or a xenophobic film in any form, because it's just as critical of South Korea's government.
It's
an oversimplification that, and I think that's, and it's not fair on him because, you know, he's done American films, he's done, you know, all sorts of things. A lot of people asked why he didn't do Snowpiercer as a Korean film, and he said, well, it's about the last train and the last survivors of Earth. They're not all going to be from South Korea, are they? You know, and I think that's a fair point. Yeah.
Imagine being the only person who could speak English on a train that's just going around the world, and wow. You'd be bored out of your head.
We'd just have to find other ways of communicating, wouldn't you? Sign language.
I'd have to learn Korean.
Do you know that Tarantino is a fan of this movie, Quentin Tarantino?
I think I did. Mm. I think you told me before.
And then he went over to a South Korean film festival, met him, and they got pissed for a week.
I'd love to get pissed with Tarantino.
That'd be amazing. Just chat movies and stuff. But he absolutely loves this movie. He saw this movie, loves it, and that's why he wanted to meet him. And they've been steadfast friends ever since.
Yes, he said hello to him and thanked him at the Oscars.
He did. Because it's helped him. Because Quentin Tarantino is always a champion of lesser-known films, cult films, classic films. You know, Inglourious Basterds and Django are named off of two classic cult movies from Italian directors, you know. And that's why Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is all about Italian directors and filmmakers as well. You know, he's a big, big fan of that sort of stuff. So that when they were designing the creature, I've just got a kind of list of facts that I find interesting. Do you have any facts?
About the movie, yes. Or just in general?
Give us a general one if you want.
A general one, a fact.
Bit of trivia, maybe.
Bolton Wanderers were the first ever football team to win the FA Cup at Wembley Stadium.
Right.
There you go, mate.
Fantastic.
A football fact.
Wow. That's the first time anyone's mentioned football on this podcast.
You're a massive fan of football.
I curse you. Pox on your family.
I don't even watch that much sport.
You don't watch that much sport? What are you on about?
If you
constantly on.
Okay, constantly on.
And then your son comes round, and then his football's on.
No, not his football, just our football. We do like football.
And wrestling, I don't mind. I'm cool with the wrestling, but everything else, I'm like...
American football, NFL.
This is boring.
XFL now.
This is XFL. Why? Is there naked ladies in it?
No. Why would there be naked ladies?
I don't know. It's got an X in it. Mutants. Does it have mutants in it?
Yes.
Oh, good. Oh, all right. Now, mutant naked ladies.
You'd love it. You'd love that.
They don't look like this fish creature, though, do they?
No, thank God.
where are we?
Facts about the film.
I'll tell you what. Do you want speaking of nudity? Do you want to hear about
speaking of nudity?
This is a nice segue. It's a nice segue. So when they were designing the creatures, one of the initial designs someone came up with, one of the designers, was it like an insect-like design? It had these kind of big, long, kind of sharp, kind of sticky legs.
Did it have his cock out?
You know what? You're not far off. You're literally not far off. So this particular design, the creator came up with an idea that he would strip the human naked with these kind of legs, these kind of stick-like legs, and then would devour you. He's
peeling a human.
Well, just of the clothes, not the skin or anything. He just eats the human whole. He just takes the clothes off.
I thought you meant strip them of the skin.
No, just the clothes. The clothes. So there's these three kind of pieces of artwork. This is on, if you want to find this kind of information, a lot of it's on the Optimum Asia DVD 2-disc release that I have, that I own. And it basically, it's these three or four images of this guy being stripped down naked. And then eaten by the monster. But apparently Bong Joon-ho was saying that the photos he used for reference was of himself. The designer took photos of himself taking off his clothes and then drew himself in each of these images being stripped off and then eaten by the monster.
That's why...
Why? Don't worry. Oh, don't worry. There's another one that's even weirder.
Oh, God.
So another one of the designs of the creature featured two large testicles.
Wow.
Can you imagine seeing that?
Two large balls on the screen.
That's and like the design is literally like a kind of almost like a woodlice kind of creature, but with two kind of, you know, imagine like a kangaroo sack. But with two large testicles.
It's kind of like movie 43 where Hugh Jackman had testicles for his chin.
Thank God I've never seen that.
It is fucking dreadful.
But I think it was when they were messing around with kind of the gender of the creature, the sex of the creature.
In the film, is there a sex of the creature? Or...
I don't, there's not really, it's not really any kind of... information, particularly like very detailed. I think probably
except for Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, except for Steve Buscemi. But yeah, there's not much I can say really about that itself. But I just love the fact that they had the balls to put balls on their creature.
Hey, look, if you can't put testicles in a monster, what can you do? We're not a dictatorship, are we?
Dictatorship.
That's off.
The movie itself in Asia won several awards. So it won several Blue Dragon and Asian Film Awards, and is rated currently on Rotten Tomatoes 93% fresh.
It's not 93% fresh worthy.
I very much enjoyed it, but I think one of the reviews that I've seen that a lot of people take umbrage with was that it's on par with Jaws,
which is from
Ain't It Cool News, if you know the website and blogger and vlogger and what have you. It's Harry Knowles, I think he's called.
Harry Knowles, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He's a very, you know, steadfast defender of this film and obviously puts it up there with Jaws. I don't agree, but
it's good. 7 out of 10. I'd say
7-8 out of 10 for me. I think it was a lot of fun. I definitely think at least the opening kind of monster thing is
it was great. Opening's
really, really strong. I think a lot of people turned out for it in South Korea because of the satire, because of the criticism and things like that. I think that's one of the reasons they went to see that movie. But yeah, on the whole, I think it's a really fun monster movie. If you want something a bit different, I recommend watching this.
A bit different, what you should do is watch it, but turn the subtitles off.
I mean, that'll be a bit tricky.
And that's how we learn Korean.
Is it? Is that how it works? You just all of a sudden know it's what they're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of Korean, the title for the film itself translates as... the Korean title translates as monster.
Oh yes, I did.
Yeah, I think it was like Guamil or Guamil.
Host in English.
That's right.
Which, if you then Google the host film, a completely different film.
That's right. I think it's.
So I watched that at the start, so it was behind.
Yeah.
Good film. I did mine not.
You would. You would.
No, I didn't. I was just joking.
But yeah, I mean, all the. I think it's a good mix of several different. Kind of different things and themes going throughout it. It's not like no monster sci-fi movie is ever just about a monster. It's not just a monster. You know, there's obviously
it's about loved ones. I find a lot of monster movies is just about a family stuff like that.
Yeah, the what you could lose if this monster gets out of control. How have they become this monster? Are we the monsters? Are we humans that have created this thing? Are we really the monsters? Which I think comes up quite a lot. Very Frankenstein-esque type, investigation. I won't spoil the ending to the film, but the Bong Joon-ho said he was inspired by a Vietnam film with Gene Hackman called Uncommon Valor, which I've not seen myself, but it basically involves kind of a group of military guys going back and saving Vietnam POWs. So they kind of go back after Vietnam and save them like 5-6 years on or something.
Can we watch that next?
Yeah, sure. And he was also inspired by the cult film Alligator, which features a girl buying an alligator, taking it home as a pet. And then the father gets mad, flushes it down the toilet, lives in the sewers, starts eating, I think it's like these animals that have been experimented on with steroids. So like dead yeah. dogs and shit that get thrown in the sewer. Starts eating those, becomes fucking massive.
Have you watched it?
I have. Yes. Yeah, so it was great. I enjoyed it. If you want a monster alligator movie, there was even a sequel as well. Believe it or not, that popular garnered a sequel.
Mate, there was a sequel to the movie you made me watch of Necromantic.
Oh yes,
which is Necromantic 2.
Even more romance.
No, this time it's personal.
It's not. Was it not personal the first time? It was definitely very personal. That's just the tagline.
Doesn't mean it's good. I don't like these B movie things you watch. I don't mind
some. You like some.
I don't mind some. But even some are just like, no.
No.
Like the one that it kind of tweaked my fancy a bit is Fabric. Is it Fabric?
In Fabric, yeah. The killer dress one. Yeah.
The killer dress, because I'm like, okay.
It could be all right.
Yeah.
It's very art housey, but I've not watched it yet, but it's on the old Skybox. So, it looks pretty good. It looks well.
Start charging you for a pound per download.
Well, I mean, I made you buy one particular film recently, which
right, I'm going to discuss this on this. So you made me watch.
So with the kind of coronavirus being what it is, I've delved into kind of virus movies or infection movies. I watched Carriers. I watched 28 Days Later, that sort of thing. Obviously, very over the top. Yeah. You know, not unreal viruses that would happen. And I was looking for one on the Skybox, and we managed to find one. It's called Blindness. And it happens to be that the whole world goes blind. There's an infection, it goes around, it makes everybody just see this pure whiteness.
It's weird that you can just see pure whiteness.
It's just, that's all you can see, just pure white, nothing else. Stars Julianne Moore, Mark Ruffalo, and several other people. And it happens to be one of the most bleakest films I've ever seen in my life.
It's fucking dreadful.
It's horrible. They basically,
it's just so harsh. I'm like, should we just say rape?
All the worst things a human can do happens in blindness.
People raping blind people.
Yeah, blind people raping blind people, effectively, or forcing them to have sex for food or for, you know, other items, you know, cleanliness items. There's murder. There's people just walking around shitting in corridors. Naked, you know. There's a guy who gets a. There's one person in the film who you can see, which is Julianne Moore. Like, she seems to be, you know, unaffected by the virus, for whatever reason. She's immune, and she has to help these people, and there just gets more and more people, and the burden, of her being
concentration camp.
Yeah, it basically is a concentration camp. If they try and escape, they get shot at, and then it's just. I thought the movie would be more kind of them struggling to make it through a city with loads of danger and stuff.
Yeah.
But actually, you spend the majority of the film,
in
a concentration camp. It's awful. It's well done. I will say this is well done, well directed, but it is as bleak as anything you've ever watched. The two nights after, I struggled to sleep because I was still thinking about it. It's that bleak.
I remember watching it, turned it off, and I was like, never again am I watching that.
Yeah.
What did I choose?
I think you left towards the end.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't do it anymore.
I think there was another 10-15 minutes after you left.
It was a long movie.
It was about 2 hours something, I think it was.
Yeah, for that, it was like too long.
Yeah, it was a lot of... I would have probably have liked if they'd maybe the last... Spoilers for the movie, but the infection kind of wears out. Doesn't last, and I kind of wish that had happened a bit sooner, and then we could see them kind of how they're going to rebuild and restructure and
I don't mind that, just less,
and they have to live with the things they've done, that sort of thing. But yes, so if you're looking for a very, very, very bleak, dark, and disturbing film, Blindness is for you.
You chose that, and I chose one. I can't remember.
What did you choose?
I don't know. Didn't I choose to watch like Toy Story 4?
Yes. Yeah. Toy Story 4 was good. Not nowhere near as bleak.
It's not.
No.
Great film.
Still a bit creepy in some places, but mostly the villains.
Which parts?
Oh, most of the villains. Yeah. The ventriloquist dummies.
Yeah.
They're very, 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 very creepy.
Goodbye. He's so scary. Nice one.
But yeah, he did. Bong Joon-ho did very well after this as well. He was actually offered quite a few kind of monster and kind of sci-fi movies and stuff. Afterwards, he was given the script for Iron Man 2,
yeah.
And he was given the script for World War Z.
World War Z. Oh, I was hoping to make a second of that. They have canned it, haven't they?
No, I think they are still...
No, canned it.
Oh, they definitely canned it.
Because China will not let movies be shown with zombies in them, so it's just been...
Really?
Fully canned. Yeah. China's state, whatever they are, can't remember the word.
Republic, People's Republic of
China.
Yeah,
well, I mean, the people who choose what films you can have, one of their rules is you cannot have zombies in their films. So they have because China's such a big market now... Mm. Well, whilst he's been too really? Spin-canned.
Yeah.
I really liked it, actually.
I mean, that's
a lot different to the book. If you've read the book, I have.
Our friend Andrew Knowles loves the book. And I got, what did I get? I think I got the book signed for him by the man who wrote it, I believe. Or it was How to Survive a Zombie Apocalypse. I think maybe that was the sequel to World War Z, I think. I'm pretty sure it was the same guy. Anyway, but I asked, speaking of zombie films...
Mm.
I asked our listeners, well, my listeners, not yours.
Our
listeners. I'll be honest, I barely listen to you as it is.
I think once I change the parental settings on our TV service.
Don't do that.
You will be so frustrated.
I need to watch all the films that I need to watch.
So
not the dirty ones, just the
you need to stop renting pornography.
I do not do any of that. Why would I pay for pornography?
Just to recap, you rented Adult Nightly, pay-per-view, Big and Bounty.
Lies, all lies. you know it's lies. Anyway, back to our podcast, which is about things, actually, us doing things. Okay, so I asked...
Sounds weird, isn't
it? Asked, yeah. We have subjects. We like to talk about it.
Go on, the listeners.
But the listeners, they have said... So Nerds Chatting on Twitter have said... I basically asked, do you have a favourite South Korean movie? And if so, which one? So Nerds Chatting said, never seen one. And then they've posted a little gif of a monkey with an ashamed face. Or I guess it's maybe see no evil face if it's a monkey, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It was the eyes. I am. So that was Nerds Chatting at Nerds Chatting. If you'd like to follow them on Twitter, very good podcast. I highly recommend a listen. I am Jax Musings at I am Jax Musings. Haven't seen Parasite or The Train to Busan yet. So as of now, it has to be Memories of Murder, Just Over the Handmaiden. Memories of Murder was Bong Joon-ho's first film, or first feature film, I believe. And The Handmaiden is quite a recent one. I think it's sort of a kind of memoirs of a geisha type thing. I think she's a prostitute or something. But Train to Busan is one of the best zombie films ever made, easily.
Scary, wouldn't watch it.
It is scary, but it's very, very good. It's really, really good. Set on a train, like Snowpiercer. You like that? That was on a train.
I hate trains. I learned to drive because of the train service in the northwest of the UK.
Fair enough. Then I Am Jax Musings came back and said that Edgar Wright wants in on our podcast topic. So Edgar Wright posted basically that he loves South Korean movies, and posted loads of Korean movies to get people into watching more of them, which is a great idea for him.
I've only watched three South Korean films, but I think that's... In general, I'd say that's a lot more than
most people. Yeah, the average probably viewer, the English or Western viewer, probably hasn't seen as many. Yeah. I've seen. I probably could count them on one hand, the amount I've seen. Old Boy, Train to Busan, this.
Snowpiercer.
Technically.
Snowpiercer's a separate.
Could you, I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, so definitely go out and see more South Korean films, I think, or all international movies, because I think they all need support and they all need, and they're all good movies. There's
French
good
film.
Films down there. I've been trying to get into it more French cinema recently. I watched,
The Minions is French, so you can watch The Minions.
I don't know.
If it's a French producer.
No, I want subtitles. Like Bong Joon-ho has said, he hates dubbing as well. He's not a fan
of dubbing. I don't like dubbing. I just read subtitles.
The only time I like dubbing is when I'm watching like a martial arts, an old martial arts movie.
When they just
it's like, huh, you will suffer through our dragon style. You know, that sort of thing. That kind of there's a bit of kind of humor and kind of levity that's made with the bad dubbing.
That's funny.
Yeah, there's something about it. But every other film, it puts me off a little bit. And going over to Facebook, so that was all on Twitter. So going over to Facebook, Annette Wantling has said, Train to Busan, hands down. It is one of my all-time favourite films, but special mention has to go to Phone 2002 for having one of the most creepy child performances in cinema history. So I think Phone is a little bit like The Ring, a little bit, but it's like a haunted phone.
It's Ring Scream as well, isn't it?
No, Ring is Japanese.
Ah, okay, no,
so Ringu.
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I've seen The Ring, the original Japanese one, which is quite weird for me, actually, isn't it?
It is. I went to
cinema to watch that.
Yeah?
Hated it.
Fair enough.
Nearly cried.
Because it was
scary.
Because it was scary.
Scary.
Great. So overall, what is your feeling about the film? Were you happy with it? Did you enjoy it? Or would you...
It was okay. Yeah. I like films. I'm a big movie fan. I'll watch one in the evening. I will watch one after we finish this.
Yeah, probably.
It was okay. 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit less, 6.5. But maybe you enjoyed it more because you like more the monster film.
I'm kind of.
I don't mind monster films, but I'm sorry, but I am guilty of loving big budget American ones.
And that's your preference.
At
least you give it a try.
To be fair, the first two films I ever watched at the cinema when I was a kid, first one was Jurassic Park, the original.
Yeah.
Phenomenal film. Mm. Great film to watch, first one. Mm-hmm. The second was Godzilla.
Not so great.
Yeah, not. But you know what? I've got a lot of time for it because it's so crappy, it's good. And I'm so
I did like Hank Azaria in it, but I like Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria, just because he's in The Simpsons.
I like him in everything.
Yeah,
so.
Just because he's in The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked the dad. I liked the granddad. Hated the uncle. The daughter who was kidnapped by the monster and kept in the lair. Also, she became a protector of that kid. She protected
her. She was really cool. Yeah.
And to be fair, she tried outsmarting that monster and tried beating it herself as well.
Mm.
Because when she was trying to escape the lair, it was asleep.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. And then trying to jump up into that big rope.
She made a rope out of all the victim's clothing.
So,
The action, I quite like the action scene at the end as well. The finale is actually pretty good as well.
We don't want to spoil it for listeners. But, so, I wasn't a massive fan of that, to be fair.
No?
I wasn't a massive fan of it. But I liked what happened after and then a year down the line of what's
the development. Yeah,
and I thought it was really, really good. But in overall, I'd say 6.5, 7 out of 10 for me. I'd not watch it again.
No.
I've seen it now.
Yeah.
I might have to watch, was it Train to Busan?
Train to Busan, you'd like.
Yeah.
I think you'd like it.
But is it too scary and gory?
It's very 28 Days Later, I'd say. That type of zombie. It's like the second they get bit, they're infected and they're like, blah, blah. You know, if I'm in the room with you, they can't hurt you. It's fine.
Yeah, but you always you never let me cuddle you anymore.
There's reasons. So many reasons.
But you know what?
Beyond reasons.
I'll tell the police. You don't need that that piece of paper against your neck anymore.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you've done that. Where can they find you on the social medias, if indeed they want to find you at all?
Social media?
Which social medias and why?
Bebo.
Bebo. MySpace.
MySpace.
MSN Messenger.
MySpace is still around, and it's owned by Justin Timberlake. What a fact that is.
That's a weird one.
It's a true one.
Napster.
I'm on Twitter.
I
can't remember my Twitter. Is it MXCAWT?
I think so. Or it's the other one.
No, I got banned. I don't know why. Never tweeted anything bad. So,
Well, clearly somebody took issue with you.
Yeah, maybe. And social media. So that's it, really. To be fair, I don't really post much on Facebook. I don't really.
I mostly tag you in things we're watching. That's
Or
I tag you in something. Yeah, memes.
Comic book things.
Yeah. Don't post anything too serious because
I never
don't really know what people are going to call you.
And Instagram. I do.
Instagram, okay.
XAWT.
Okay. I will tag you in the posting of this podcast,
yeah,
so people can find you. But you can find me and the podcast at Facebook. It's at Secret Balls. Type that into the search bar. Twitter, it's at Dan _ Balls. Instagram, Spider Dan Secret Balls, all one word. And the podcast is available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, many, many more. If you'd like to donate towards the podcast, you can buy me a coffee. That's at ko-fi.com/SpiderDan and the Secret Balls. And don't forget to use the hashtag #PrepareForPrattle when you interact with us.
Prepare for prattle.
Prepare for prattle. Do you like that? Do you like that?
It's one of my favorite new hashtags.
Oh, that's good. I will use it. You see, that's funny because Spider Dan and the Secret Balls, so that means that's Secret Wars, based on the Marvel comic book where Spider-Man gets his black costume, and they go to a place called Battle World, and I call the podcast, you know, it's Prattle World.
I knew that.
Massive fan, huge, of the
hashtag. And
who's the main villain in the Secret Wars, the original 1980s one?
Knew this one.
Yeah,
Hacker Man. Yeah.
Is he from like the New Zealand All Blacks?
No, hacker man.
Doing a hacker.
No, not hacker. No, I've done that.
Doing a hacker. Yeah.
I did that while I was in New Zealand.
That does not surprise me.
At a Maori kind of thing. They asked me to do it, and it wasn't
they asked
just
you to do it.
They did. There's actually, I'll show you the video. Anyway, I'm hacker man, no, like hacking.
You mean Hackman.
No.
John Hackman.
From where?
From Kung Fury.
Yes, yeah, you got it.
Do you know who you're talking to? It's a cult film podcast. Of course I know what Kung Fury is.
Triceracop,
my favorite.
I was telling people at work Kung about Fury. They didn't believe it was real.
Oh, it is real. Yeah. It's getting a feature-length sequel. It's so real.
It's so good.
But that is all the time we have tonight. Unless you want to say anything else, anything that's on your mind or super important and you want to tell people.
Donate to Dan. I give him a coffee. He deserves it.
Yeah.
He's a good podcaster.
Thank you.
I'm a big listener. I listen to every single one.
Lies. All
it's
lies.
It's not a lie.
It's lies.
I've downloaded lies. Every single one.
Well, if you download them, don't listen to them, that's fine.
My favorite one, well, I did like the Finley one.
Finley. Yeah, he's good. He's good. I like him.
He's my child. But then the other one was the one with Scott.
Yes, very popular one. Top 5 comic book based video games.
Yes. Very good. Very good.
Very good. So, yeah. Well, thank you very much for your support and thank you for being on this tonight and watching that monster movie. And I know that you are quite deathly afraid of. Okay.
I am.
You're deathly afraid of fishy creatures. And that's all the time we have for tonight. Goodbye, everyone. Hope you enjoy this. Bye-bye.
Bye.